Let your love fall upon us. Let your spirit fulfill us. We surrender at your feet. We surrender our lives. We surrender, we surrender.
Lord, I surrender it all and see when you calling. I know that you calling me. Got a lot of things on my mind. Sometimes I can be so hard to reach. I just be lacking control. One hand on the wheel on a straight and narrow. I'm ripping, gripping down the road, trying to speed it up, but you told me slow it down. I ain't got no patience, I'm hungry and destined for greatness. I just wanna make it, I just gotta make it. I don't wanna live a basic life. I know that I'm chosen, know what I'm told, and know that you stay in control. But I still wanna blow and reach some souls. Is that too much I'm asking for? Yes, I surrender the mission, but what is the mission? Defeat every level in. It's only go.
Well, welcome, family, to Real Talk with Pastor E, myself, and Minister Carolyn. Yes, we are excited this morning to continue this journey. Domestic violence next door. And yes, we will continue with a variety of Real Talk discussions, dynamic principles based on messages of worship to our God with extravagant respect. And yes, here's the first disclaimer. Family, we are fully devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And with open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every opportunity. Through works of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and we will reach the lost and unsaved. Again, welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E. This morning is going to be awesome as always, but dynamic in the sense that we are going to hear a true living testimony and a living story of the example and of the results of what God can do when you trust in him. Without further ado, I want to bring my co-host in, which you'll be hearing a lot more of today than myself, as her and her guests come in today. But I want you to just welcome in right now, Minister Carolyn Hamilton. Good morning, woman of God. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor. Praise the Lord. It's good today the Lord has
made. Yes, it is. I am excellent. You know, I got a lot going on this morning, so I'm trying to multitask, but God is good. We're going to turn it over to you and let you take it from here, and we'll get involved later on.
Pastor E, before you go, can you check to make sure that Ms. Brenda Spann is in the host queue?
What's the number? Just the last four.
Okay.
You can't have my family.
Okay, thank you.
You can't have my breakthrough. You can't have my increase.
9794.
Yes. I'm going to unmute him now, and then you can introduce.
Okay. Praise God. Okay. Good morning. As you already heard, this is Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Kelly. We have a real special guest today, Ms. Brenda Spann, Pastor Brenda Spann, an awesome woman of God, who I've had pleasure of meeting and getting to respect, and our testimonies are similar, but as we all know, each of us have our own story, and no one could tell it better than ourselves. So, Pastor Brenda, I would like for you to introduce yourself and introduce the gentleman that is on the air with you today. Pastor Brenda?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you. Yes,
okay,
I can hear you.
Okay, well, praise God. Okay, well, praise God, praise God. Good morning. I want to give all honor to God. I have on the phone with me ex-boyfriend that I was involved with due to domestic violence, and I would like him to introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Donald Harris, and it's good to be here. To give my side of the story and to support Brenda in her journey.
Praise God, Mr. Donald. Did you say Donald?
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, praise God. Oh, that makes me feel so old when you say ma'am.
Okay.
So we're just going to, as you know, Mr. Donald, this is a show about domestic violence. And even for our other audiences that are just coming in that don't know what the show is about, the show is about domestic violence next door. And we kind of began this show when a young lady that I mentored was murdered by her husband. And he not only killed her, but he killed her her 16-year-old son. So we gradually start forming a forum, and young women all over start reaching me and going in my inbox on Facebook. And I began, Pastor E opened the door for us to do this domestic violence show. And to do this domestic violence show. And then it began to bring on healing for myself and other people. And it's still that even though we're in ministry, we still go through it too, because I myself, I'm a minister. Pastor Brenda is a minister, is a pastor. And then people think because we are of a cloth that we haven't experienced things, that we haven't gone through things, situation, and hurt and pain. So we're just coming out as examples, and prayerfully we'll be able to bring others on, and they'll begin to their healing process, and they'll begin to tell their stories. So, again, it's a blessing to have you on air with us today. And so with that being said, I'm going to go straight on in with you and Pastor Brenda. First and foremost, the first question I wanted to ask is, where did the two of you meet?
I guess she ran out of gas on Western, and I was in some apartments, and she needed some help, so I went over there, and I started talking to him, and it was drizzling a little bit, so I got a can, and she got on the handlebars, and I rode it on my bike to the gas station, and we came back, and when I came back, I guess her friend, she ran the radio, and the battery was dead. I don't know if I stole a battery or not. I don't know if I stole a battery for or not, but they got on their way, and she gave me I gave her her number, and she called me. I forgot all about it, and I went over there, and we met, and everything was cool from there. Then we started hanging out. But then, by then, when she first met me, I was in my addiction. I was a functioning addict. I thought I was. But then during the course of the event of the relationship, you know, things started to get rocky. She was really good to me. It was me. You know, I really didn't know who I was then, because I was on drugs and I was a gang member. I was trying to live multiple lives, and I couldn't do it. And it was really sending me over the edge. And I really love Brenda. But when you say you love somebody, you don't harm them. So at that time, I didn't know about respect. So I didn't have respect. And if I would respect her, I would have loved her better.
Amen. You know, I have to commend you on that. It's actually kind of bringing tears to my eyes. I mean, because so many of us have the same story. I was in my addiction, and I was a gang member, as was Pastor E. Like I said, we all have our individual stories. But it's ironic how God will bring things full circle. And I came on the show thinking that I was the battered person, only to find out, and my husband has been in prison 36 years, only to find out that I had did some battering as well. Because, you know, a lot of times people think that the women are always the victim. But sometimes we can get kind of combative as well. So with that being said, I'll try to go like right into the meat of it. You said that you had you were in your addiction, and it wasn't you. So you're taking full responsibility for your actions. But now, Everybody plays a part in it. So when did it all go bad? When did you
Let me say something. First of all, I did not know that he was on any type of drugs. At that time in my life, I was, you know, living in the fast lane, you know, selling drugs and just having fun, just thinking that I'm having fun. And I didn't know that he was on drugs until later on. You know, we all used to, hang out and, you know, drink and all that. But I didn't know. I really didn't know that he was involved with that in drugs. Yeah. All I knew that I was very fearful of him. Why I stayed in the relationship, I was young. I think I was in my early 20s, like 19, 20, 21. In my early and those things, I didn't know, but I was very fearful. I think if I left, I felt that maybe he would probably really kill me. And it was a couple of times that he really, it wasn't like a slap. It wasn't that type of abuse, you know. It was more like hurting me to the point where I thought that he was going to kill me. I remember one incident that it was at his grandma's house, and it was late. I think it was like we had laid down like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was at his grandma's house. That's where he lived at, and I can't recall all the parts of it, but I remember them. He just went and just started hitting me. I mean, not with his fist. I mean, I remember him picking up a lamp, hitting me with a lamp, and I have scars on me today where I look at him and I look back and say, this is where this came from. And I remember that incident that happened then, once I was able, because he was enraged. I didn't do anything. I didn't know why. I don't know if he was jealous. I didn't know, what I had done. I just know that I was trying to get away, so I remember that his grandmom and everybody was like, they come in, they see nobody could control him. And I remember me running to the kitchen and grabbing a knife, his grandma's kitchen, and grabbing a knife. I don't know if I cut him that time, but I remember when I grabbed the knife, he stood at me, and then he ran out. I don't remember that time, but I do remember that when we was at my mom's house, and something happened. I don't know. I can just greet him, like walk up to him, like, hey, babe, what's going on? He just haul back and just slap me or punch me with his fist for no reason at all. And that time I did stab him, and he took off running, and I think I almost had cut his liver or something like that. Another incident, he was trying to take, I had a Seville at that time, he was trying to take my car, and he threw me out of my car while the car was rolling, And later on, I ended up going to jail. I ended up being in jail for some, I forgot what was the reason, but I ended up being in jail because I remember my leg was messed up. Another incident, he was chasing me. It was a place where we used to hang out in Hawthorne, where I used to hang out and sell drugs and stuff like that. And if he didn't find me, he would go into the hotel and he would kick in every door that he thought I was in. That was one of the things that he put so much fear in me that a lot of time he didn't even know that when I would lay down with him at night, I would have a knife under my pillow because I didn't know if he was going to attack me or not, but I was ready, to be in that type of fear. But
okay. It's like, as you're talking, we're like, reliving this and I'm starting to hear like the hurt, and the pain. This is where you begin to let go, because now we have a woman of God and a man of God that you're reliving, you know, all of these things. And so now it's time, you know, that God has opened the door for us to let go. I will say now that we
have to see. I'm just telling the story, but I have let's fast track this. Okay, about a couple of maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, I seen his sister in the store, and this is because I was very fearful. I didn't know, you know, I wasn't no longer carrying a gun, you know, carrying knives anymore. I'm carrying Jesus. But, you know, you had to remember that I was involved with someone that hurt me. I didn't know what to expect if I ever seen him. So in the areas that I knew that he would hang out at, I would avoid going over there. So, but I had seen his sister in Albertson's store. And she said, I was still had fear on me. And see, this is what God does. God, you know, he loves me so much that, you know, he wanted me to let go of this. He wanted me to let go of the fear and all this type of junk that I had going on with me, because that was something that was unresolved in my life. So when I seen his sister in the store, she said, you know, Donald had been asked about you. Now, I haven't seen Donald, oh, my God, over 20-some years, you know. And so she said he wanted to let you know that he was sorry for what he had done. And I told her, you know, I said, you know what? I said, tell him that I forgive him. He was incarcerated at the time. I said, you tell him that I forgive him, you know. And that was the beginning of me healing, you know, because the last time I had seen Donald, I was on my way to the club and the Catch One. I was going to the club, me and my friend girl. And he stood at Florence and Western. And when he stood at Florence and Western, the light caught me. Now, we wasn't even together. We was long broke up from then. He seen me, and he pulled out a gun and started chasing the car behind me. You know, and, of course, you know, I'm upset. I'm in rage. And I can tell you that... Later on that day, someone got shot, and it wasn't me, you know. So I knew that if I ever met with him, that it was going to be a problem, because we had, we had some problems, you know. I thank God that, you know, his life wasn't taken. He got shot in his leg, but the intent was to kill him, you know. But, you know, glory to God that he didn't die. Glory to God, because I probably would have been in jail for the rest of my life, you know. And that was the last time I seen him. And so when he contacted me on Facebook, and I seen the name, I knew who the name was. I knew. I was laying on my couch meditating that morning. And when I seen him, I seen the name as asking to request me as a friend. I said, oh, no. I said, no. And I accepted the friend, and then I deleted it. And then I think maybe like a week later, it was in my spirit, and I said, you know, I need to know how this man has changed. I need to know, not that I want to be with him, but I need to know that so I can continue to heal, that I don't have to look over my shoulders anymore. And so I think me and Bubbles was here in my house one night, and we went through the channels on YouTube to try to figure out how can I friend him on Facebook. And so I ended up friending him, and the first thing he said, Brenda, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry. And you just don't know, and I apologize, and even though I did a lot of things, and because I, you know, in my defense, but I had to apologize to him too, you know. And I just want to just tell women out there that you don't have to. I don't know why I stayed. I was young and dumb. I don't know why I was young. I don't know why I stayed. I mean, I told you why I stayed, because I thought that he may kill me if I left him. But I'm telling that now, since I'm more wiser now, it's more options that you can choose. You don't have to stay in a relationship like that, you know. And I know I've been talking a lot, but go ahead, Minister.
I'm at all at the story. And again, I'm going to say, Mr. Donald, but I'm kind of going somewhere here with this because we're like
Can I come in? Minister Carolyn, can I interrupt?
Yeah.
Donald, how are you? How are you, man?
Yeah.
This is Pastor E.
I'm all right.
How are you today?
All right. How you doing?
Man,
I'm all right.
I'm blessed, man. I'm sitting here in tears because of the testimony and of the reliving of some things that all of us have went through. But I would want to kind of touch in with you on this because it's important for men to know that just because you were one way, that you can be different. What was the mark? I know it had nothing to do with Pastor Brendan. This is something that you experienced on your own. What was the mark that made you realize and made you come to the realization that the way you were living your life was not gonna you weren't gonna survive that?
I'm gonna tell you where it started. I went to prison when I was 19 in 86, and I was in that LA County Jail, and it was hell. I had to be a certain way to survive, and I wasn't going to be a victim by all means necessary. So if I had to do something to you, I'm going to do it. And when I got to prison, I did the same thing. So the violence in there and the kind of dudes that I hung with number cutthroats. And I was young, and I listened to all that. I didn't have a father in my life, so these dudes was like, you know, somebody to look up to. But in all actuality, these dudes was cutthroat because they ain't never coming home. They was lifeless. So I did what I did, and I listened to the things they said, and I brung that home. And my home wasn't prison, but my mind was still in prison. So from 86 to 2018, right now, I just get out, August. So when I was in there, I ain't going to lie, man, I had to really evaluate myself. But I couldn't come home like this. So I got into programs to, you know, to see where my head at, to see how I'm functioning in society. I'm scared out here right now.
Right.
Like how she's scared, I'm scared. Because they try to give me 36 to life for a DUI, and I got 10 years. But now I'm out here walking on eggshells myself because I don't want nobody to do nothing to me, and I'm not going to do nothing to nobody else. But, you know, I'm going to elaborate on what Brenda said. You know, yeah. She stabbed me in my back once. She got me again. Yeah, she did hit my lung. Then shot me in the foot. But then I'm saying that God had let me know that, hey, man, you need to slow down. But I didn't. And I got shot several more times after that. You know, I got shot in the mouth twice, in the ribs, in the butt, in the leg. And I said to myself, man, what the hell's going on? So I had to stop my stuff, what I was doing. You know, so now I had to look outside my body and look in. Because I said, if I say cuz again anywhere else, somebody's going to kill me. And I don't want to kill nobody
else.
So now I'm a better person. I joined a group called Man Up. It's called Making Rational Decisions, Acting with Precision, Never Giving Up Your Position, Uplifting Me, Myself, and My Community, and Positive Living, and giving a helping hand to a fellow man. You know, that's my creed right now. So, you know,
Man up.
Man up. You got to. Because everything I did, I didn't take blame for it. I didn't take blame for it. So now I'm able to stand up to anything that come my way and be a man. You know, I have to do that because I can't live a life of...
Let me ask you this. When now you made these decisions... And now you reach out to Brenda, and she forgives you, and also asks for forgiveness. What impact was that on your life?
You know, like she said, it was a heavy burden that left off her heart. It was me too, because when she was giving her little testimony from years ago, I'm slumped over right here, feeling bad, man. You know, and I had to go through that, and I did that. You know, I'm like, what kind of person would do something like that? But I was raised in a house with a number of women, so. How can I do something like that? And I got a lot of women in my family. So I don't think my name was Donald then. It was something else.
Yeah.
Come on now. Come on now.
It was.
There you go. Yeah, see, that other person.
I'm sorry to say,
I think we've all experienced that other person in our lives that we do things.
Yeah, and
that
he was controlling.
Today, be like scratching my head, saying, "Man, you was doing some stupid things out there." And I'll admit that I, you know, drugs, especially in our area of growing up. I know we're all about the same age, but cocaine had a big effect on a lot of our mental thinking. I mean, you would imagine things was happening that wouldn't happen just because of the drugs that we were dealing with at that time. And I'm just thankful today that I'm here to hear this testimony and to be a part of the healing of it, because I'm glad Pastor Brenda started to get it out, because you needed to hear it. She needed to know that you were hearing it. And now I feel a weight lifting even in this moment right now. By the unction of the Holy Spirit, because of the truth that's going forward, but for the reality that, you know what, we can do better. So I applaud you guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There you go, Minister Carolyn.
Amen.
Praise God. You can't keep the next questions that I was going to ask. Nonetheless, I was going to try to, merge this conversation a little. We have another caller that is on my phone, and we're just going to call him Mr. B.
Okay.
Pastor Brenda, could you mute your phone a little? So we're just going to call him Mr. B. I give a piece of my testimony every week. And every week is a healing for me, but I can be the first to raise my hand about the drug called crack. I was in a relationship that you know, where I could say the woman was the horrible one. I'll admit, in just this one relationship, that would have been I would have raised my hand. When I had a man that was incarcerated, that literally gave me everything from paying my rent to rent of cars to paying for me to go to paralegal school. And even though I finished school and I'm certified, I was still a bona fide crackhead. A man from behind the prison walls that, hey, back then you couldn't get no free drugs program. You had to pay for him. For him, and this man had his friends collecting money to take to my dad so that I could go get the help that I needed. And I went in only to come out and to go through those changes, but this person held on, and he said that he held on because he had a elderly man that was in Selly. And the man told him, just love her to death to the point where she don't understand why you loving her. And he did that. And in the midst of my addiction, and they took him away, and he went to Pelican Bay, and I started hanging out more. I came back to L.A., and I started gangbanging more, and I started selling drugs only to smoke drugs and doing everything outside of what a wife was supposed to do. And then when I did get that conversation with him, sometimes I was so high and I was so drunk that all I said was ugly things, or, you know, or even having someone in my house that I would go to sleep with and not know the next morning was in the house answering my phone and my husband was on the other line. And so when you talk about the healing process and people that you don't believe or you don't understand, how can they still accept me and how can they accept my apology? And that's where listening to what Pastor Brenda, all the hurt and stuff she was spilling out on the woman's side, and it's how do you feel about her accepting your apologies, and now we have the other caller on the phone, Mr. B. How is it, I'm bringing you on now, Mr. B, how when the apologies, and do you feel like, and Pastor Brenda, I'll ask you after him, do you feel like those apologies are sincere? Do you sincerely accept those apologies? And how was it for you and the pain for you? We heard Pastor Brenda's side, but from a man's point of view, how was the pain and how do you go through and how do you get through it?
Well, my thing is, I believe that, if somebody apologizes to you, she'll be sincere. I take apologies sincere, but the actions show more. I accept apology, but your actions show more by what you do from that point on, as far as the person, as far as your beliefs, have your beliefs changed? Are you still doing the things that you are you apologizing to me for ulterior motive or just to make you feel good? You don't have to prove nothing to me. Prove it to yourself, prove it to your God that you're a better person. It's not necessary that she accepts his apology or his apology. You show that by your actions and the things you do from that point on. That's what makes your apology sincere. We can accept each other's apologies. From that point right there, okay, we accept it. Now show me what you're really about. That's where it counts at right there.
And for you, you talked about, I think last week I was talking about the pain after the pain, and you had expressed to me like how you have felt at a certain point in time, and sometimes I'm asking you this because sometimes people think the women are the only ones that feel a certain way or feel that certain pain. If you don't mind, could you just share a little bit of how the hurt you felt and what it took you to get through it?
You talking to me?
Mr.
B. How you get through it is, if you believe in somebody, somebody believes, you have to believe by faith sometimes that, and keep pushing forward. And pray that, they still love one, whatever problem they have, addiction or whatever, whatever problem they be going through, and pray that they come out of it. I have a hand doing well. How I deal with it, I'm bad now. I feel, I was tough to, be strong, so that's how I looked at it. I got to, just man up. Like your brother said, you got to man up. So, and it didn't change my life for you or any, I just continue to love. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I pray that someday, she come around. She'll wake up. She getting older. But, I also realize that, crack and any drug, makes you decisions that you don't want to make. It puts you in positions that you don't need to be in. So it makes you vulnerable to a lot of rules out here in society. So towards that, all you can do is have your faith in that. One day that your loved one will wake up and see what reality really is, what life is really about. That's what I said about that.
Praise God, and I really appreciate you. I commend you for coming on and speaking and saying what you have, and I love you so much just for accepting me for the person that I am. But it's something that you said that Pastor Brenda said that Mr. Donald said, and my mother used to say it too, but she put emphasis on it, and she was like, I'm not going to worry about you kids. I'm just going to, because my sister was on drugs. I was on drugs. My daddy was drunk in the house. And it's like, she was like, I don't care what y'all do no more. She said, because I can't deal with it. I'm letting go and I'm giving it all to God. So all we would hear my mother do was pray. And so I can remember one day telling my mother, pray. That's all you do. And she told me, well, you better be glad that's what I'm doing, because I will kick you and I can't say the rest. But I thank God for a praying mother. I thank God for a praying husband. And I thank God for people that's coming on this show, you know, airing and sharing. And so I'll go back to you, Mr. Donald. So I asked Mr. B, how did he handle the hurt and pain? But now, you know, Pastor Brenda, she went pain all of that time, and she's finding her way out. But now with you hearing her story, you said that you're slumped over. And so now you're feeling some kind of pain, and it's like, how are you handling it? Just thinking about it, because I know you're going to be thinking about this probably all day, the rest of the day, the rest of the week. Before we close, how are you dealing with it? And what, in closure, what would you like to say to Pastor Brenda?
Once again, Brenda, I wish I could have met you sober, in a better peace of mind, and maybe we had a better relationship. And I hate that I sent you through what I did. And I really am truly sorry. And all that I went through, it was not me. I wasn't in my right mind. So I want to just say to everybody that's listening that, hey, you know, you got a few seconds to make different choices in your life. And I'm glad that I'm at this age right now where I can see the error of my way, because I'm still healing too. You know, because at first I was vengeful, but then I said to myself, I can't be vengeful because I was the villain at the time. So the villain don't get no praise. So, Brenda, I'm sorry, and I love you, and I always did, and I hope we can stay friends. I really do.
Amen. Pastor Brenda.
Amen. I accept his apology. I accept his apology because I needed to heal. And God needed to lift that fear off of me. I needed to have a peace of mind. I don't, you know, like looking over my shoulders. And I accept his apology. And I like see that he's a changed person. He said he accepted Christ as his personal savior and had praised the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's basically, I mean, I accepted. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. I didn't want anything else. Just to know that when he apologized to me, it was like a big weight lifted off of me. And I'm satisfied with the apology. I'm satisfied with it. Now, I can continue to go on and do what God has called me to do without, thinking about, you know, what if I see Donald again or what, and that's very, that's a fearful thing too. And then, you know, like I said, I have changed my life. You know, I'm not the same Brenda anymore. So I thank God. It's only by the grace of God. I thank God that God did this for me. I thank him that he did it for his daughter. And I glorify him. And I exalt his name, because he lets me know that he loves me. And he doesn't want that fear. He doesn't want that stuff that I was carrying around. He didn't want that for me. And I thank him. And I accept his apology. And that's good enough for me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I hear closure. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we glorify you right now, Lord, in the midst of this right now, Lord. We want to just lift you up and praise you for your healing power right now. We pray that your anointing fall right now, Pastor Brenda, on Donald, on myself, on Minister Carolyn, on every listener on this line that has been through something that we all have. We ask for your peace to fall right now, Lord. Give us the ability to heal. Give us the ability to help others to heal. But give us the ability to share our stories in confidence, knowing that it's gone, it's done, it's finished. Lord, release it and shower us with forgiveness right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. Woo, glory.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Mr. Kelly?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, are we, I told you I'm doing five different things this morning. I had to step out the car, but did we want to open the lines? Did you have any other callers we wanted to bring in? I'm just right now I'm in a place where I just feel the anointing that I think we could just kind of settle on this right here and let the healing go forward.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Mr. B, do you have any closing remarks that you would like to say?
No, I don't have anything else to say. You know, Johnny, your freedom, get your freedom back. Be successful, brother. You know, don't get caught up in the rat race out there. You know what I mean? Stay focused. Do what you need to do. Do you get yourself together. You always remember, reflect back on your past as far as how you treated your sister. That always teach you to respect your woman or women in general. Think of your mothers, your sisters. You wouldn't allow nobody to disrespect your mother or disrespect your sister like that. So don't allow yourself to do that. Respect more for your mother, your sisters, your loved ones. You want to give that in return. You know what I mean? So when you embrace your sister, let her know that she's safe, not to be afraid of you anymore. Let her know not to fear you as a man. Let her know that I'm here to protect you and not hurt you. You see what I'm saying? Look, be focused. Do what you got to do as a man. But when it comes to your woman or your women, his hands off at all times. You know, I always believe that I was taught that, and I never went there. You know, I've been behind the wall a long time, long before you got here, and then still here after you gone. But the point is that you always got to stay focused, man. You can't lose your sanity. You've been here. You've been in groups, so you know. Take your 10 seconds to breathe. And get your thoughts together. If you feel anger coming on, you know when it's coming. Don't nobody else know. Step back. Sit up, listen, calm down, and breathe. Get yourself get your composure together. Then you speak. And I always remember, when nobody gets you out your character, you know what I mean? Because see what you're doing to the sister, he's out of character. And like you said, you grew up in a house full of women, so hey, you should have been, hands off. Cause you know that, because you were their protector. You grew up in a house where you were the only man, and you were the protector. You protected them, you're supposed to protect her the same way. All your acquaintance, whoever you choose to be with, will protect her with your very life. You know what I mean? So that's all I have to say.
Amen. And you have
Amen.
The Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? Mr. B.
Mm-hmm.
I said you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we just make it short. Okay, Pastor.
You had to get that one in there, didn't you, Mr. Curly?
Yeah.
That's right, my sister.
Yeah. Go ahead with that one. Hallelujah. Well, this has been awesome. I'm not going to even open the lines today. I believe that this conversation is going to heal people without us even taking it to another level of opening up. I just want to say thank you, Pastor Brenda, first of all, for opening up. And I know this was God. When you were speaking, God was saying, "No, let her go. Let her get that out," because that was something that He needed you to do. And it had to be done in Donald's ear, and he needed to hear that thing, because God now is going to really release him on some burdens that he's been sleeping with that night, and those old stinky thinkings that be trying to come up in him. God is going to heal him now because of this show today, and our brother B and Pastor uh, and And Minister Carolyn, I'm not trying to put a title on you, Minister Carolyn, I just honor the growth that this broadcast is moving in you. And so I celebrate everybody this morning. I applaud you this morning. I say this is takes a lot to let this go, but we need to heal, and we cannot heal others until we heal ourselves. And the things that God has put before us, I want to encourage each of us on here today, no matter what it looks like right now, God has a divine favor and purpose for your life. But it takes us to make the decision to change our thinking that we are conquerors, that we are victorious, and that we can do it. So I want you to leave here with that today, that you can do it, and God is going to help you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys.
Amen.
Bless you.
Higher you take me just means more glory for you. The more you bless me, just means more praises to you, 'cause it's all for you, it's all to you, it's all for you, yeah, it's all to you, it's all for you, it's all to you. It's all through you, yeah, yeah, all for you. The higher you take me,
yeah,
needs
more glory for you.
Everything I am is
for you.
And the more you bless me,
the more you bless me.
Gotta give it all
to you.
The higher
you take me,
yeah,
needs more glory for you.
And the more you bless me, it just
means more praises to you.
All the praise goes
to you.
The higher you take. Come on, if you really mean it, say,
for you,
hey, the more you bless me,
the more you bless me,
it just means
more praises to you,
hey, cause it's all for you,
it's all for you,
it's all to you,
it's all for you,
it's all for you. It's all through you.
Of my life always.
I'll never take your glory.
Oh.